look into God's Word for a few minutes at the person of Christ. Talk about the gospel, the great purpose for why He came. I'm very glad you're here. Maybe there's someone here who has never met the Savior, who doesn't know the Savior, who doesn't love the Savior. And if that's the case, God has blessed you tonight to bring you here and have you hear the gospel. And what we hear in the gospel, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And the word power is, we get our English word dynamite from that. And it's the dynamite of God. Dynamite blows down. And the simple message of the gospel that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, is verse beside me here. I mean, how solemn is that verse? God, the Father, hath made him, his lovely Son, to be sin. I mean, we can't even enter into that, can we? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him was no sin. And all we know is sin. So we can't relate to the moral character of Christ. But he was made to be sin on the cross. And our sins were laid on him, punished your sins. And the gospel is that we know the story, it's history. He paid the price for our sins, and made the way open for sinners to come and believe on him and be saved. To be able to say, I know where I'm going. I know. And I can show you so many verses that tell you how I know. It's through the gospel that we're saved. And that's what the whole Bible is about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and a bride consisting of men and women, young and old, and children who trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. It's a relationship with Him that we need. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the gospel I declare unto you. This is it. This is what I preach. Christ died. Why did Christ die? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, God's lovely Son, who brought such delight to his heart, have to die? Because there needed to be an offering for sin. Whose sin? Well, my sin and your sin. And that's the problem in life, is our sin, according to the scriptures. And he's buried, and he rose again, according to the scriptures. And that's the gospel. Well, let's read, first of all, just a little bit of Psalm 40. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, much of Psalm 40. In verse number 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine eyes hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And then we'll just read a small portion in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, but in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And God will bless the public reading of his precious word, primarily in Exodus chapter 6, as I was reading it. This is the Old Testament, but it tells us in the New Testament these things were written for our learning. We learn from the Old Testament, New Testament truths. So as I was reading through that, I couldn't help but think, as we all do, of our blessed Savior. He voluntarily left heaven. There was a Savior needed. At that time, he didn't have a body. And then when Mary brought forth her firstborn, that was the body prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he voluntarily came. We read in Psalm 40, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book of the Old Testament, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy laws within my heart. They had no idea who they had in their midst. They had no idea. It was God himself who wrote the law, and the Pharisees and scribes trying to trip him up with the law. And he would quote the law, and he'd say, but I say unto you. I mean, the law was God. The law is God. The Old Testament is God. He would say, I know what Moses said in the law, but I say unto you. Greater than law. Law written in his heart. He said, he came because his father sent him. Now, he was not a bond slave in heaven. He was the son in heaven. He came and became a bond slave. His life, looking at his life now, took upon him, Philippians 2:7, the form of a servant, which is bond slave. He's servant. He was servant to mankind, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not a bond slave of mankind. A bond slave just wants to know what is the will of his master and do it. So that's a bond slave. He has no will. And as a servant to mankind, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ exercised his will. It was what the Father wanted him to do. Now, in Exodus chapter 21, this man who was a servant, a bond slave, for 6 years. We read in verse 5, I love my master. My wife and my children, I will not go out free. And in essence, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I love my master, I love my father. My wife, I love Israel. Children, the fruit of Calvary, the bride. So I will not go out free. Could have gone out free. They taunted him to come down from the cross. If you're the Christ, come down and save yourself. And even on the men on the cross, one in particular mocking him. If you're the Christ, come down and save us, you know, for this life. The Lord Jesus could have come down, but he had no intention of coming down from the cross. His face wasn't very far from anybody else's face when he was on the cross. is probably about right around right there. He nailed to it where they get up close to him. Hatred, absolute hatred. His face was such a mess from the fists and the beating and the blood and the spittle. Crown of thorns. Right up to him. You know, the audacity, the pride of man. And if you're the Christ, come down. We'll believe you if you come down. Come down and save yourself. He didn't answer them. The reason he came was to be on that cross. For my sins, for your sins, for the whole world's sins. And what's amazing is so few people want to hear about it. It's amazing. They don't want to hear about it. Christmas is coming. Hey, that's good. That's fine. I don't mind hearing his name mentioned a little bit around Christmas time. I know some of those Christmas carols mention him and so on. You know, I kind of enjoy it all, but after Christmas, of course, I don't want to hear about him. And that's the truth. Few of the people find it. You know, even while the gospel is being preached, Satan is here. Maybe not personally, but he has his demons. I mean, there is a multitude. We have no idea. And the Lord Jesus tells us plainly that when the gospel is preached, the message you're hearing tonight, when it's preached, he's there. And he seeks to steal seed. The Lord gave a parable about throwing seed. You know, and the birds came, the fowl, and took the seed. And so it couldn't take root. And he said, that's like when the gospel is being preached, as it will be preached in Schenectady in 2009 in November. The enemy will be there to steal the seed, the word of God, the truth. The truth that would wake you up tonight if you're not saved. Only the truth can wake you up. And you're dead. Right now you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're not even alive to God. You don't have life. You don't have Christ in you. National Geographic, 1976, and there was a magazine picture of a coal miner. They were doing something about West Virginia, on the town, the mine, and there was a man, Earl Medley, kissing his wife goodbye. He's going to go down into the mine, you know, way, way down there. And on his helmet, he had his helmet on, and he said, happiness is knowing Christ. Whether you're down in the mine, you know, maybe 3 miles down, or no matter where we are, that's happiness. He's everything. He's the answer. That's what's wrong with my life. I don't know Christ. There's an emptiness in my heart. I've been trying to fill it all my life with anything I can find. And still, I have an emptiness in my heart. Well, it's Christ. He is lacking from the person's life. This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And all he wants us to do is believe. What is sad is that, again, so few are interested. That's sad. But all we can do is, we're messengers, sow the seed. And what happens after that is up to you. It's up to those who are here who are not saved. Because they now have a choice to make. Well, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you have a choice to make tonight. You might say, I'm not making any choice tonight. Well, actually, you are making a choice if you're not saved. Tonight, you're either going to choose to become a new woman, a new man, a man of God, a woman of God, and I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior, and there's going to be a revolution take place in my life. Now, that's going to happen, or you're going to say nothing. You think because you didn't say anything, does that mean you said no? Actually, it does. Yes. You said no. My story. Calvary. They sin. Terrible thing. 3 hours. Darkness. Agony. Untold. My story. but I don't want to make it too personal. Well, if you're here and you're not saved, we would urge you to make it very personal. Because that is what everything's all about, is Calvary. That's what happened there. He is going to be seen as a lamb slain, wounds in his hands and feet. When he went back to his Father, he went back differently. He went back with a body, a glorious body. He came back altogether different. Same God, but with a body. And those of us in this room who are saved, you see, this is what we're looking forward to. It's reality. We are going to receive new bodies like unto His glorious body. And we are never going to die. And we are never going to know pain ever again. We'll never know what suffering is. We'll never know what it means to be disappointed. We'll never be sick for eternity like Him. The future we have as God's people. We dismiss our responsibility in the gospel. For me, it is rather sad, because that's what I do. I thank God that I do. And that's my life, is the gospel, and he would be to find it. Imagine, it's that important to the devil that he's in a meeting like this to try and steal the seed from people's minds before the words get down into your heart. So I saw primarily, here's a picture of Christ, like his ear. The same word is used in Psalm 40. He says dig. The word is dig. Now, dig my ears is the same word as here. It's bored. Bored through. And his ear was bored through in a sense. And he could have been out free, couldn't he? But he would have went back free for nothing. He would have went home to his Father. But there'd be no fruit. Free for nothing. Free by himself. And the cross was a symbol of the rejection of the world. And when we read, for the joy that was set before him, what would be the joy set before the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you ever wonder about that? He's on the cross, nailed, 33 years old. Oh, how he suffered physically, anguish. He's going to die. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross and despised the shame. What was it that brought such great joy to his heart? He'd think little of the sufferings. You know, it was sinners, just like the one you see standing here seeking to lift him up before you, and ourselves. Us, men and women, who are interested in being his. Are you interested in becoming his tonight? Are you interested in doing something with your life? Making your life count? Having a meaning, a purpose? That's what's going on. It's the gospel. And God bless you, and you believe in him. Trust him as your own. Now, in staying on the cross, that's how he procured his bride, children of God. And their wedding in glory. Purpose of salvation. It's for us to also make a deliberate choice. The Lord Jesus made a deliberate choice. I come. Knowing full well what was going to happen to him, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, he came. Now, as a Christian, when I come, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am gloriously saved, then, what is the purpose? That's a question that everyone asks. What is the purpose now of my life? Before, it was just pleasing me. Thank God, he woke me up. But now, what does he want me to do? Well, we look into the Word of God, and what we find is that the great end that we're looking at, the mark before us as believers, is Christ himself. To become like him. That's the purpose of our salvation. I decrease and He increases in my life. I don't want anybody to see Wade LaBelle, the man who died April 29th, 1980 in the water. Died. I don't want you to see him anymore. I was pretty sick of him. That's why I came to Christ. I heard the loveliness of Christ. So, our objective is to decrease, isn't it? And Christ increases. And you see more of Christ. I see more of Christ in you. That's it. We're becoming more and more like Him. That's what being saved is all about. It's an adventure is what it is. It's childlike faith, purpose, and meaning. Make a deliberate choice. Allow God to bring us to the judges and to the doorpost and plainly say, I love my Master. I love my Master. I will not go out free for nothing. Free for nothing. Interesting, isn't it? Free. For what? Oh, for nothing, actually. Nothing. That's what it says. Out free for nothing. But if he'll plainly say, I love my Master. I'll not go out free for nothing. I'll not go out by myself. Now, he's made a decision to be a bond slave for every single day of the rest of his life. It's interesting, it says forever. We can relate to that as God's people forever. Worship Him. Now, he had a choice to make. He could go out free. Walk away. See, he had failed in some way, this man. There was something in the law. Maybe he was in debt or something. He couldn't pay it. So this man buys him and he has him 6 years. He served his 6 years and now he can go out free. But the language is what? Free for nothing. You're going to be free by yourself. So, this man could make a deliberate choice. He could say, I love my Master. He could look out to the door and a free man today. All I've been doing for 6 years is what that man told me to do. But now I can walk out the door free. And when we first get saved, there's a fleshly zeal and fervor. And we think, you know, I'm going to do great things for God. Yes, I am. And God is very gracious. And He slowly begins to show us that the man, the woman, the flesh, the person, is corrupt to the core. His new nature now is the Holy Spirit. And I begin to understand, like Peter did, it's not things that I do. Doing may not necessarily even be serving. No. Number 6 is symbolical of incompleteness and imperfection. 6 years, one short of the perfect number. Solomon had 6 steps up to the throne, but it wasn't enough to keep him from succumbing to idols. The Jews in John chapter 2 had 6 water pots. Purification, and that simply expressed the insufficiency of man's ordinances to meet man's need. And after we're saved, we, to our horror, discover there's a tendency to live my life for myself. It's still there. And then there's a tendency in me now, I'm different now, I'm a new creation now, to live for God. Now there's a struggle going on. Now, the flesh would like to win and have us go out free. You know? Path of least resistance. And we come to understand that I can go out free. I can. He will not force me. I can be saved and look just like anybody else out there. Just like Lot living in the Sodomites, you know? He looked just like them. Like it happened to a Christian. Free. I'm free. I'm saved. Saved by grace, you know. He'll never cast me out. So, I'm sure where I'm going. That's good enough for me. And go back. And there's no difference between that person and those in the world. You can't even tell the difference. It's not like God saved us. But the terminology is wonderful. It's for nothing. For nothing. Go and do what I want. It doesn't mean a thing. My life doesn't mean a thing. And I'll be by myself. Yes, I will. I won't know that sweet fellowship with God. There's nothing any greater than that. Nothing. You know, what makes you happy, you know? Things we look forward to and so on. Remember when I was young, you know, maybe getting a new car, you know, and happy, you know? You get a little older, you know, in the Christian life. A new car, I'm glad I'm getting a new car. I was thinking about that. And I would thank the Lord. It doesn't even come close to the joy that He gives me every day. Fellowship with Him, walk with Him, talk with Him, pray all through the day, no matter what I'm doing, what we're doing, we pray unto Him. Talking to God, you know, while I'm doing this or that, I'm still in His presence, you know. It's a high, very high and lofty life. So, of course, the teaching here is that what He wants, of course, is for us to make a decision. We have to make a decision as a Christian. What kind of Christian am I going to be? What kind of Christian are you going to be? What kind of Christian are you? Because I can't do it in the flesh. Can't do that. It's no good. Can't. I understand. You've got to be little. Be big enough to let God make me little enough. And small enough to use. That's the prayer. You know, in freedom, you should grow up free for nothing. There'd be no eternal value. You know, the Rolling Stones in the 60s, I'm free to do what I want any old time. It actually isn't even freedom. It's bondage, but we don't know it. And as a Christian, we're free to make such a choice, but, you know, we have to look at the results. You know, where's this life heading? You know, Solomon, at the end, when God rebuked him, he said, "My servant, David." Every time he said, "My servant, David, my servant, David," what he's saying is this: that's what you weren't, Solomon. You started out good. But you got lifted up, thinking you were somebody. You know, you let yourself be taken away. But your father? Oh yes, your father failed. He got back up again. And he loved me. How do I know he loved me? Because he served me. My servant David. How God loved Job. The last chapter of Job, 4 times he mentions Job's name to those men. And God calls him my servant Job. My servant Job. 4 times, my servant Job. Just so you men know. Just so you know. I know those who serve me. I know those who love me, really love me, who long to be in my presence. What will I find in freedom? Failure of the fulfillment of God's plan for my life. Forfeiture of the spiritual inheritance that God designed for me to possess right now. That hands, feet, and walk in the high places and be more mature and grow day by day. And really mean it when I cry out, God, teach me the error of my way. Search me, know me, and try me, and see if there be any way of pain or grief. And Lord, don't let it happen. Don't let my heart deceive me. Work through me. Work through me, Lord. You've worked with all that. You fulfill the desires of the flesh. You know, not a sin to be tempted, but it's going to go beyond temptation. And there's a loss of feeling and concern for those around you, lost or saved. It doesn't really move you anymore. That can happen. I just see them, but my eye doesn't affect my heart. I know they're perishing, but I mean, in some you don't see it meeting. How's that loving your brother? Do we love one another? Well, if we love one another, then we should be examples one to another. Me, you, example, follow. You know, if we love one another, the testimony, living for God, blesses me, shows my love for my brother, as it does, blesses God, and speaks to unsaved people more than anything we could ever say. To live before them. You know? Not like those in the world bowing down and all these things. But we bow down to nothing. We bow to nothing. We're as bold as a lion. And that's how we go through life. In fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. We abide in the vine. We have divine courage. We're not afraid. Today's steps are ordered by the Lord. Nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. Evil tidings? No, he's not afraid. What happens is in freedom. I become, Pink Floyd in their album The Wall had a song called Comfortably Numb. And that's what you become. It's freedom. That's what you find in freedom. Just comfortably numb. Just go through life. No love for my Savior. His loyalty, his interests. My life will be summed up by himself for nothing. Maybe not by himself for nothing. I don't have love. That's one of the most challenging portions in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 13. So it really hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? If you don't have love, well, God says, you are nothing. You're nothing. You see, what he's saying is you're not like me. I am loved. You have love. It's very strong language. It profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Lot. Well, Lot is one who went out in freedom. We die to self. Let's lay down my life for my brother. Die. When a man picks up his cross, where was he going? He knew where he was going. This is my last day on earth. As he hung there for a few days and slowly died. Well, Lord Jesus says, do you want to be my disciple? Do you really? Well, you can live your life. Make your own choices and ask God to bless the decisions you make. You can live that kind of life. Or you can have a rich life, purpose and meaning, and glorify me. Glorify me. You become my bondslave. Be my bondslave. I lay down my life for my brethren. I want you to see old ways. That's my objective. I don't. And I'm always disappointed, you know, when I recognize them. I'm always disappointed. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. Lot is an example of a man who went out free. No altars for him. No offerings to God for him. Looks pretty good down there. I'm going to go down there. He chose him. He chose prosperity. But there was no profit. He left it all behind. in Sodom. He left everything behind. All he got were the clothes on his back. You know. And what a pitiful end. Pitiful end. He was a young man, you know. He should have said, Father Abraham, Uncle Abraham, you know God. You decide for me. Hey, that's like a Joshua. That's like a Caleb, isn't it? I want to follow the Lord. Samson. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman. Get her for me, for she pleases me. Well, then they went down, and his life, you know, was down from there. You know, it all began with him seeing in the wrong place. He chose him. I see a woman. I go get it. That's the way he lived. The first thing we read about him is that he saw. And, you know, the irony that his eyes were bored out of those times. Samson. Passionate man. Powerless and pointless. And what did he end up? Going round and round with the Philistines. Even out free. What did it get him? What did it profit him? Didn't profit him anything. One last example is Demas. Having loved this present world, you know, I think I can get along comfortably in the world with the worldlings. So that's the choice that I make. That's a choice we can make. He chose, isn't that sad? But an honor that he was with the Apostle Paul and the others. And he left them. Because he loved the world. He chose pleasure and he just passes away from the pages of Scripture. Well, the time is gone. What God wants for us is to come to a point in my life where it is. I want to be the best man I can be for God. I want to be the best woman I can be for God. And I mean it. Lord, I mean it. Bore mine ear through with and all. Take me across the floor. You know, it might be a long walk. Maybe some time go by. But God's delighted. Do you want me to shape and mold you to be like my son? Well, you'll suffer. You know you'll suffer. And we say, yes, we know. I know. I know that. But if I don't suffer, I won't reign with him. I won't be like him. I won't know what it means all about being a man of sorrows. I won't be able to identify with him. So we come to that place in our life. The judges, and they spoke of God, solemn. So once for all, like present your body, metamorphose, that's the word. Transformed. Caterpillar. It's sad to see that most Christians were content to be caterpillars, you know, crawl around. Lift their head up once in a while. God wants us to be butterflies, you know. Metamorphose. Four times in the Bible, twice transfiguration. The other one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the last verse, changed glory to glory. That's the word. It's a presentation of the body, is what it is, just daily. Because I love him. That's all. Because I love him. Father, increase my love for thy son. That's a good prayer. I think if I was a father, I'd like to hear that prayer. You mean you want to love my son more? Well, all right. You will. You want to see him more in the Scriptures, in life. Wonderful. I'll show him to you. I'll reveal him to you. This is the life he wants us to have. You know? Never satisfied with where I am spiritually. Never. Willing to learn. And the mark on his ear on the doorpost was a permanent reminder to this man, everybody else, that he belonged to someone else. What are you saying? When I belong to somebody else, I don't have my interests at heart. I'm not going to defend myself. small thing that I am judged of you. Paul, I don't even judge my own self. God knows. Trust God. I belong to somebody. You see, I'm different. I'm different. Gospel tract made a great impact on me when I was such a young Christian. It's called Others May, You Cannot. Others may, but not you. No. You. Because I have some plans for you. So you can't have those other things. Everybody will know I belong to somebody else. I gave up all my rights of a free man. So you know what? When you get angry and holler at me, that's okay. That's all right. And you accuse me of doing things I didn't do, that's all right too. I'm going to defend myself. You know it. I'm not a free man. Matter of fact, my citizenship is with heaven, and I'm an ambassador for Christ, and I'm a soldier in the Lord's army here. You see, my life is not my own. And he was one whose only will was to know and do the will of his master. That was it. That really summed up his life. And then on in, forever. He couldn't serve forever. It's for us, that word forever. Forever. You know, like starting now. It's a turning point. See, a message like this can be a turning point in a Christian's life. It can. Really mean serious business. You know, what am I doing? You know, I've only got one crack at it. Only you're here once. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing? How much time am I wasting? You know? Make it mean something. Reign with him. What does that mean? I can't relate to that. I'm going to reign with Christ. Everybody? Oh no, not everybody. If you suffer, he says, for my sake, for the Bible's sake, for being a Christian's sake, for the gospel's sake, if you suffer in your life, you'll reign with me. Yes, you will. Suffering people, sorrowing all the time? Actually, no. No, a joyful Christian. Joyful. Sunshine. Weeping at night and enjoying the morning. A wonderful God. What a purpose to our life. Before, nothing. Now, everything is Christ. We'll just close prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy Son. Thank thee for his day. We thank thee for all the praise and worship that went skyward, gloryward today, all over the world, Father. By faith, we gathered different languages and cultures, all gathering to the same person. What a wonderful person he is. He's altogether lovely, Father. We thank thee for him. We thank thee we can do all things through him. We thank thee we can say he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. That's what he's promised. We thank thee, O God, for him. Thank you for his purpose to our life. Thank you for thy word. Help us to lay hold on eternal life. Those are there any here that know thee not, Father, we pray that something that was said might awaken a desire to know thee in their heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.